This episode was recorded in October 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Very well, Rob. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Now, the reason I wanted to get in touch was it's very rare I see a footballer reciting If, the poem by Kipling, who's become a bit of a controversial figure, but one of the most famous poems. I'm like, what is this all about? So what is it all about?
To be fair, to be honest with you, I'm not got great knowledge of poetry, but it is my favourite poem. I remember learning it at school. So it is the one poem that I can recite word for word. So it is a favourite of mine, and also well known off the old Mike Bassett England manager as well.
How did you end up sort of going, how did you end up getting involved and doing it? What was it all about?
So to begin with, it was part of the organisation I work with now, the Football Fun Factory. We, when lockdown came about, obviously we moved online to try and keep children engaged in the game. So one of the challenges that I attempted to do was to do keepy uppies while reciting the poem, which I managed to do after about 50 odd attempts. But then when it was National Poetry Day the other day, I just thought it was my favourite poem, so I just read it out.
Come on, tell us about the Football Fun Factory. What's that all about?
So it's the organisation I'm involved with now. As the name suggests, it's around making football fun. So it's programmes for young children, boys and girls between 2 and 12, and it's purely around enjoyment and sort of learning and getting a love for the game. It's not around a development programme where we've got linked with professional clubs. It purely is just around fun and enjoyment and using football as a vehicle to really develop positive life skills like teamwork, communication, sportsmanship, where in our sessions we'll celebrate that just as much or even more than a little boy or girl scoring 30 goals in the session. So it's all around inclusion and giving everyone the opportunity to play this fantastic game.
And what's the response like? I mean, from what I see on LinkedIn and what have you, it seems to be absolutely blossoming.
Yeah, we've gone through a period of real growth. So it's a franchise organisation. Our end goal, as it were, is to become the biggest and best football coaching organisation in the world. We're a million miles away from that now, but that's the long-term aim. And just have hundreds of thousands, millions of kids running around, just playing the game purely for the enjoyment of it. Whether you're a really talented young player, it's the first time you've ever kicked a ball around. So it's a really rewarding organisation to be involved with and something I'm thoroughly enjoying at the moment.
Did you devise the programme? Are you involved in that?
Yeah, so myself and the two co-founders have put the programme together. We've all got history within academy football. Obviously, I was a football player in the past, and it's just something that's not as serious. It's not, you don't have to be a brilliant player. You don't have to improve loads, but as long as we judge all our sessions on the kids going home with a smile on their face rather than what they may have done or not done on the football field.
What kind of response have you had and what kind of response have you had from parents?
Yeah, but really positive. Obviously, because it is inclusion, we all sort of run our franchise, as it were, out of the communities where we live. So the sessions that I put on are at the school where I used to go many, many years ago now, and the school where my children go or have been. So it feels good to give something back to the local community where I sort of felt my first experience in football and sort of learning to love the game 35 years ago now.
Don't you miss being involved in the pro stuff?
To be honest, I love football. I had a wonderful career. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed my football career. Went into coaching. I never probably saw myself as a coach, as a player. I weren't someone who'd be sort of shouting about or telling the manager what to do and that sort of thing. I just enjoyed my time as a footballer. I feel a lot happier being out the game. I still love the game completely, but what I'm doing now is just stripping it all back, and it sort of reminds me of that 7-8-year-old little lad that was just running around with a smile on his face. I certainly don't remember any tactical, technical information that I was given at that age, but I remember it was incredible fun, and I absolutely loved doing it.
It's amazing. I spoke to the Scotland as he is now, Stephen Reid, Scotland assistant manager, and he's, you know, he said exactly the same thing. He's now sort of started. It's more a mind thing for anybody, for amateurs, for pros, because he said he suffered from a lack of confidence when he was playing, and he said, what I want to get back is that unbelievable joy I first had when I used to run outside and kick a ball. And he said, I kind of feel I've lost it along the way. And I guess that's something you can identify with.
Yeah, I think football can do that. I think you start obviously playing the game as a child because it's something you love doing. It's an obsession. You can't do it enough. I think when it turns into a job, which it can when things aren't going well, and you sort of maybe lose a little bit of love for the game. So I saw some of the excellent work that Stephen's doing now, and it's fantastic to see him doing that and giving back to the game that obviously he had a fantastic career in. So I completely see where he's coming from on that. I think when I had struggles throughout my career, when I weren't playing well, I was injured, it always, to get myself back on track, I always used to think to why I was actually doing it, because it was something that I loved doing so much and that I've always had so much fun and enjoyment doing it, really.
You've been incredibly positive about mental health and the struggles you had with yourself. Are we beginning to talk? Are us men who, you know, I'm not going to the doctor, I'm all right. Are we beginning to express our feelings a little bit more, do you find, in professional sport?
I think so. I think it is going in the right direction. There's still obviously loads of work to do. There's some fantastic work that's being done. But I think we are now more, some people are. I think it's just getting that message across that to deal with your problems, the best way to do that is to talk about your feelings, understand why you feel a certain way. So I do think we are moving forward. But hopefully if we chat again in 10 years' time, we would have moved forward a hell of a lot more.
What was Royal Antwerp like?
It was incredible. It was an amazing football experience, but amazing life experience as well. I think I was a young lad when I went over there. I was living in Diggs in Salford at the time, then moved over there, and I had to fend for myself a little bit and sort of become a man, as it were, come out of being a boy and into a man living in a foreign country. The football experience, it was an amazing place to play football for a young kid. I remember watching my first game before I signed there on loan, and the fans were smoke bombs and all that in the crowd. It was a real European flavour to it. And I remember scoring, it was one of my best memories in football, was scoring my first goal there, and the crowd started singing my name, and it was the first time I'd ever experienced anything like that. And it was an incredible experience. I think both on and off the field, you had to learn, because you were free to do what you want, really. There was three of us lads living in a hotel, and we had to understand when we could go out and enjoy the bright lights of Antwerp and when we had to be in bed having a hot chocolate ready for a game the next day. So it was a steep learning curve, but something that I thoroughly enjoyed.
You see, you talked about struggles when you were younger. I think life experiences, don't they? They help so much. Something like Antwerp, okay, you're in Manchester United, you won a Premier League, you're with some of the greatest players in the world. But then, you know, what do they go? Oh, hey, Luke, come in here, mate. You're off to Antwerp. What were you like? What the hell's going on here?
So before I went to Antwerp, I'd only actually played one game for United. So I went out there to gain that experience. And when I came back, I was in and around the first team squad for a small period of time. But I was actually gutted when I got called back, because I was enjoying Antwerp so much, playing every week, one of the good players in the team. So when I was called back to Manchester, it was I thought I was just going back to playing the reserve team. So it was obviously incredible to go back and play with the amazing squad that I did. But Antwerp, something I'll certainly never forget, and it was one of my favourite memories in football, was being out there. And again, you felt, because you were a young boy living in a foreign country, I felt so free, like I could do what I want. I never really got told off because I didn't speak that much English. So it was completely different going back into that sort of environment at Manchester United, where everything's sort of under the microscope and everyone sort of knows who you are once you've played in the first team.
I've got to ask you. I don't want to. The nice thing about doing these lockdown and sort of lockdown interviews is you can talk about anything. But without dwelling on Man United, because I've read Man United, but I've got to ask about Sir Alex, because I had a lot of dealings with him because I was a reporter up in the Northwest when I first started, and we had. I just loved the fella. I mean, he's one of the most scary at times for me because he used to tell me off and shout. But, you know, what about you with Sir Alex? How did you get on with him and what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's one of the most incredible people I've ever had the pleasure to meet in my life. I remember the first time I went up to Man United as a trialist player, probably as a 14-year-old boy. I went up for a week's trial, stayed in a hotel with other kids from around the country, and at the end of that week we played a game against Nottingham Forest at Littleton Road, and the manager was there, and he'd come in to introduce himself to the team in the dressing room, which was obviously incredible as a young kid. And when I got home from the trial, he'd actually phoned my mum up to ask if I'd signed for the club as a schoolboy, and it was then the attention to detail he had. He knew the club inside out, the relationships he built with people. He'd treat the kit men and the dinner ladies just as well as he'd treat Roy Keane or David Beckham. He just had every single person at the club pulling in the same direction. And that what you always, whatever you were doing, you wanted to impress the manager. And if he said, well done to you, it was like a feeling that you'd never, ever get again. It was amazing that he'd said that to you. And you always wanted to do that. You always wanted to work a little bit harder than you thought you could. He just had that incredible aura about him. As you mentioned there, when he has a go at you, it can be a scary thing. But the worst thing about when the manager had a go at you or shouted at you is the feeling of letting him down, because he was the one person at that football club that you never wanted to let down. You wanted to do everything you could on and off the pitch to impress him, really.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I read a quote, International Coffee Day. Coffee's been very important in my life, because if you can make a coffee without spilling it on a coach, that's why I got a Man United contract.
That was probably my main job at the club. I didn't spend too much time on the pitch, but it was important that the staff got their coffees after the game on the bus. So I was being one of the younger players, I was often in charge of that. So I was coffee has it's done me a good turn back in the day.
At the same time as well, wherever you go, wherever you're listed, it says ex-Man United player. You'll never get away from that. It's obviously something you must be incredibly proud of.
Yeah, looking back now as I'm getting a bit older, obviously it's something I'm incredibly proud of. To be part of that, one of the best squads in the club's history, is an amazing feeling. I think maybe at the time you don't appreciate it as much because you're so young and you're just doing what you're told every day. I remember the season when I was involved, it was such a whirlwind season. I couldn't really believe it. I'd just been called back from Antwerp and I was straight in this squad, and it was sort of pinch yourself every morning going into training with these guys. But it's something that I'm obviously incredibly proud of, to have played any part in that club's history. Obviously an incredibly small part, but to have played for the club is something that I'll obviously, something to tell the grandkids about in years to come.
We talked about Sir Alex. What about some of the other managers? I've been looking through, you know, you're at Burnley, West Ham. I was trying to match the managers to your time. Was Chris Waddle there at Burnley, or did you just miss him?
So I would have just missed Chris Waddle. It was Stan Turner, who was an amazing character that I played with at Burnley. Big mates with Sir Alex as well.
Sir Alex, yeah.
It was a great experience playing for Burnley. To be fair, I've been really fortunate to play underneath some fantastic managers, but more importantly, wonderful people, the likes of Alan Pardew, Tony Pulis, Paul Ince, Carl Robinson. I've had very lucky throughout my career to work for these great people.
Alder, it is amazing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know whether, I mean, they must have seen something in you, in fairness, but there's some fantastic names. You know, there must be different characters. Give us a difference between, say, a Tony Pulis and a Paul Ince, who was making his way at that time at MK Dons, I guess.
Yeah, Tony Pulis was one of the best people I've worked for. I think I was, when I signed for Stoke, it was under a Dutch guy called Johan Boskamp, who was quite free in his style. I was sort of a creative player, so I was allowed to sort of have a wander, didn't do as much defending. When Tony came in, that his structure of the team was completely different, and I had to play in a wide position for him. It's probably the hardest job, because you expected the work rate you've got to go through is probably more than most positions. But because it was him, it's probably a little bit similar to Sir Alex, because of the person he was, you wanted to do that for him. Might not have played to my strengths at the time completely, but because of the man that he was, I just wanted to work as hard as I could for him, because of the way he treated me, because of the way he treated people. Paul Ince was, again, one of my favourite players growing up. I just loved the way he played. I always think back to the game in Rome for England when he had the, like, Terry Butcher with the bandage around his head. And I remember he was really intense in terms of training, had to be bang on. He didn't want people pulling out of tackles. He wanted people to get right wired into each other. I remember his first ever session at MK Dons, we were playing little games, and he usually joined in as well, and was still far and away the best player, by the way. But I remember him sort of taking on a player, and he's about to take a shot with his left foot, and I came sliding in from nowhere and completely wiped him out. And I thought, oh no, what have I done here? And he's sort of lying face down on the grass, and I put my arm on his shoulder and said, sorry, Gaff, you're right. And he turned around, and he had a massive grin on his face. He said, I effing love that. And he just loved the tackles flying in and that sort of thing. But he was, I loved playing for Paul Ince. Again, he was one of my favourite players as a teenage boy growing up.
What does Cambridge United mean to you then?
Cambridge United, in terms of football, means everything to me, really. Cambridge United is the reason that I fell in love with a game as a 6-7-year-old child, getting taken to my first live football game at the Abbey Stadium by my dad. And it's sort of being so close to the action, hearing the crowd shouting and screaming and singing. It blew my mind walking out of there, the first ever game. And then I kept talking to him, asking him to take me back. So I ended up going most weeks to the game and grew up with, probably as I got a little bit older, the best team in Cambridge's history, with the likes of Leon Dublin, John Taylor, John Vaughan, Lee Philpott. They were my heroes growing up, and the club was so successful. 2 FA Cup quarterfinals, 3 promotions, nearly got in the first Premier League. And it was really watching that team that made me fall in love with the game. I get my Cambridge kit every Christmas, and I'd wear it outside and sort of fantasise of playing for Cambridge. So again, to actually have gone and played for them at my end of my career is probably the thing that I'm most proud of, because I sort of instigated the move. It was something I'd always dreamed of doing. So that was something I'm hugely proud of, and something that means the world to me, really.
Would you have fitted into a John Beck side?
I doubt it. My crosses weren't good enough.
I was about to say, all you do is, Chadwick, bang it in, mate. Yeah. What are you doing?
Like, as a kid growing up, it was like, it got criticised a lot for that direct play, but it was so exciting to watch, because the ball was always in the penalty box. He was so desperate to get crosses, corners, long throws. And then Big Dion and John Taylor in the middle. It was really exciting football to watch, and usually a fair few goals as well at the Abbey.
Okay, listen, lovely talking to you. Just want to round up with a few. Best place, your favourite place, apart from Old Trafford, favourite place you've played, or one you went, wow, I love playing there?
It'd have to be the Abbey Stadium. I remember the first time that I played there. Like, football, I love football, but I'm not really an emotional guy or anything like that. But when I played for Cambridge the first time, when I scored a goal for Cambridge, the feeling that I got, it was amazing. Incredible, really. It was like I was welling up. I thought I was going to start crying on a football. certainly, it has to be the Abbey Stadium.
Best player you've played with?
Paul Scholes. He was a genius. Every day in training, he was always seemed to be 2-3 steps ahead of everyone else. Had eyes in the back of his head, just knew what he was going to do with the ball, and he was a absolute dream to play with, an absolute honour to have shared a pitch, shared a training ground with him.
Best player you played against?
I came on once for United against Arsenal when Thierry Henry was playing, and he would have been the best player I've ever been on a pitch with, I think.
In what way? Just so quick, so good? I mean, I can't imagine you came up too many times directly against him.
No, I wouldn't have come up. It's just, he was, that the day that I came on was the day when Man U won 7-1 and Dwight Yorke scored 4 goals. He didn't have a great day, but even to just be stood on the same pitch as him. I think he's up there as probably could be the best Premier League player of all time. And he just had such a aura about him, so stylish, so quick. It like he floated on the grass, really. It's like his feet didn't touch the ground. And he would be the best, probably the best I've played against would probably be as a right winger. Ashley Cole was an incredibly hard player to get past. He was so quick and agile that he was just a fantastic defender and obviously wanted to go the other way as well. So you'd have to spend a lot of your time chasing him back.
Best goal?
Best goal. My favourite goal would have been my first goal for Cambridge against Southport at the Abbey Stadium. It was up the Newmarket Road end behind the goal where I used to stand as a teenager and sort of started me shouting and swearing. The first time I've ever done that at a football game. But just to have scored up that end where I used to stand with my pals was an incredibly thrilling moment for me.
Your best pal in football?
Best pal, so it probably would have been Daniel Powell at MK Dons. I spent, obviously, we travelled a lot around a lot of different football clubs throughout my career, but that was probably the club I was at the youngest and the longest, sorry, and spent a lot of time with him, rooming, etc. So I'd probably say him.
Maddest player you've met, as in just bonkers.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd probably say two of them, Glenn Little and Robbie Blake at Burnley. They were both incredible characters, but they'd get up to all sorts. But incredibly entertaining and great people to be around.
Craziest night out in football?
Oh, I'd probably say Christmas do at Man United when the Christmas after Veron signed. I remember being in a couple of bars and they had the coach driving us around the city. And I remember he had us all sort of banging on the windows of the bus chanting Argentina. So we must have had a fair bit to drink that night. But I remember that quite distinctly because he didn't really speak any English, but he had about four or five of his mates on the bus as well, all from Argentina. So that was a bit of a mad one.
Brilliant. It's come full circle in a way because you've been doing a bit of MUTV as well, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been nice to go back up there, obviously, and sort of talk about the team, be involved. I don't think I'm ever going to be challenging the likes of Gary Neville or Jamie Carragher with my analyst ability, but it's been lovely to go back up there because obviously I'm based in Cambridge, so I don't get back up to Manchester quite a lot. But it's been lovely to go up there and sort of catch up with a few old faces.